Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take it.
OB. It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Guys. Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com. On the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
And for the first time since November of 2015.
It's been that long.
It's been that long, baby. The Bears have won two in a row. They won at the Chargers 22-19 back on November the 9th, 2015, and then they went to St. Louis and beat the Rams, who are now in L.A. By the way, the Chargers aren't in San Diego either, 37-13. They've done it.
Yeah, the last time they won back-to-back, both teams left town.
Yep.
that tells you what we saw today.
Bears 17, Carolina 3, baby. They're 3-4. They're in the mix, OB. They're right in the mix,
miss. Yes, the Bears are in the mix. And the arrow is pointing up, okay? And Glenn, when you start out in our opening volley, what do you say? What's the question? Okay, whatever the hell the question was, I'm going to give you some answers here. Congratulations to the Bears, number one, for winning. We're 3-4, and with Aaron Rodgers going down, I think the Packers are going to lose if they not haven't already lost.
It's final. They're done.
So whatever they did, regardless, they're in the hunt. So again, congratulations to the Bears. Now, folks, there's a word called reality. Let me get to it, please. Okay?
Wait. I got to put my pom-poms down?
Yeah. I mean, I'm on the bandwagon up front, and Hemp and I are going, yeah!
give me a break, will you guys? All right. This is you talk about statistics are for the loser. Folks, wait till you hear these statistics. I have never in my lifetime ever heard, Mark, of these statistics, and you won a football game. Just listen to this, folks, for a few of them. Total first downs today. The Bears had 5. That's as 5. 5 in 1 hour of football. Okay?
And two of them were in the fourth quarter on the last drive.
Glenn, I'm on a roll here,
okay,
baby. Don't stop me.
I'm sorry. Right. I just wanted to point that out, too,
listen,
though.
Listen to this. Third down efficiency, which is one of the most important downs in football, if the most important. We racked it up to the sum of 2 for 11 for 18%. Total net yards for the Bears, 153. Total offensive plays, 37 plays compared to the Panthers 69. Average gain per play, 4.1, anemic. Now here we go. Net yards passing, 85 yards passing in today's game of football. And let me go down to the final thing. There's more. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is a statistic that is unbelievable to me.
Well, they must have run it a lot, right?
Well,
they must
just hold on a second.
300 on the ground.
Hold on a second,
no,
pal.
No, not really.
Yeah, not really.
The Panthers had the ball 17 more minutes than the Bears. The Bears had 5 first down. The Panthers had 17 more minutes. And you mean to tell me we won a game in the National Football League with those anemic numbers? But again, congratulations to the Bears. Guys, that's beyond sad.
Well, and you know what? I hate to say it, but congratulations is in order in the sense that, hey, it's been 2 years since this team won back-to-back games. But it doesn't diminish the fact that this was a game that the smell will be lingering for weeks and weeks and weeks. And, you know, you're exactly right. The way this game was played out was dictated by two things. Number one, the Carolina Panthers came in here in a cavalier, careless manner and allowed us to turn 2 turnovers into a quick 14-point differential, and we didn't have to do a whole lot. And you know what? We didn't make the mistakes they did, and so we win the game.
Danny, and what Mark made mention of this, and that's after Carolina had a 10-day layoff. And they came in here and just absolutely laid an egg. You know, and what the other amazing thing to be about in Carolina's running game, they ran right at our strength, a guy by the name Akeem Hicks, with Eddie Goldman backing him up. They ran play after play after play. Now, if you're going to do that, fine, whatever. They got basically hardly any yardage. But what they should have coupled that with, Glenn, what they should have coupled it with was bootlegs and sprint outs. You set up the run, now go with the bootlegs. Not one time did Cam Newton, that great quarterback supposedly of the Carolina Panthers, did he sprint out or bootleg? And that's a sin because they weren't going anywhere. But and by the way, how dumb is dumb running right at our strength?
Well, hey, that's Mike Shula, the offense coordinator of Carolina. Thank God he's on their team, not ours. But, hey, give our defense a lot of credit. 2 weeks in a row, they have showed up and played and not given up a touchdown. They have given up a grand total, get this, of 4 field goals and 120 minutes of NFL competition. Go back in the books. That's a long time and you see something that good.
And that's where we got to look. You know, and all the stats you said are correct, Ed, but here's reality. Bears defensively now have scored 3 touchdowns in the last 2 games.
Huge.
And let's give the defense a lot of credit. They're pretty good. They're playing good football. They're flying around. And, you know, you and I both know, you know, the defense can't score points every game to win it for you. But they've done it the last 2 victories. The defense has been the difference in the game and has scored the winning touchdown in both games. Think about it.
You know what? Absolutely. Listen. My God, the Bears, a win is a win. But I would tell you this. I wonder, now maybe this might be a silly stat. I'd like to see our interceptions run back for touchdowns. How many yards that is, as opposed to our rushing yardage on offense.
Oh, we got them beat.
Yeah, I could tell you.
Folks, I don't know. Folks, you're out there listening. Did you ever think of that?
Yeah, no, it's pretty close. 108 yards of the Panthers had 68. Yeah, so the return was what, a 78-yard touchdown return?
Total, both of them.
I mean, you know, things that happen in this game, and not to talk in circles here, but go back. My God.
Eddie Jackson took it back for 76 yards. The Bears rushed for 68 yards on the day.
Right,
that's
right.
What we're getting at. So yeah, that's plus 8.
And a fumble recovery.
Right, of course.
It counts just as much.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, but we're just talking about the interception was more than the rushing yards.
That is the stat of all stats. Are you kidding me? Defensively, our D-backs have gained more yardage than our offensive backs in the year 2017.
Win's a win.
Hoorah.
Half it'll be with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drives, Chicago.com. Start of the show is with you, 312-981-7200. You can jump on in here with you till 4 on CLTV, with you on WGN Radio till 6 o'clock. The Bears are 3-4. I don't think I don't think Eddie Jackson needs to buy himself dinner in this town for a while. He made the pickup on the fumble and the interception where he came from about 10 yards back, super impressive.
Hey, these guys, they will attest to this. Now, here's the thing, folks. You know, Peanut Tillman had a terrific, you know, the peanut punch, and that was great. But we have not had a player that had those type of capabilities of being able to go find the ball and find a way to score. Adrian Amos had an amazing interception return last week. That's great. But I'm telling you, this Eddie Jackson, staying in bounds, picking up the for a scoop and score. You know, how many guys do you know that we've had over the years would have either kicked
just
it out of bounds or stumbled out of bounds
it, right,
or not even recovered it? This guy, I mean, it was almost like, you know, an O.J. Simpson kind of play. I mean, it was great skill. And then the second return was an interception when most defensive backs would have come plowing in there with their head down, with their eyes closed. Instead, he keeps his head up and picks it off out of thin air and goes for a score and makes a great move on Cam Newton.
Made a sweet move on Cam Newton.
Cam's special.
Yeah, no, he is. But Cam, let's call what it is. We talked about it last week. I previewed it last week. I said, look, Cam Newton, when he's a dog, he's a dog. He was a dog today.
Yep.
He played like a dog.
Yep.
And Ron Rivera, for the first time, our old teammate, he actually made John Fox look like a real NFL coach. Well, and that's not a compliment to Ron Rivera either. Well, take it what it means, Ron.
Yeah, the one thing about Cam Newton, you know, that this kid gets so much hype, it's unreal, and maybe sometimes rightfully so. But I'll tell you what I saw for 60 minutes out there, I didn't see any athletic ability. He had no quickness. He was loping, and it looks like he didn't even care if he was out there on a football field. I watched him for four quarters. He had this surly-looking face like he didn't even want to be here.
He'd act like he got hurt.
And he played like he didn't want to be here. But, again, congratulations to Bears. But I'm going to tell you something. In my lifetime, I have never seen statistics like this that the Bears won a football game.
Well, any pro team.
Any team.
Any pro team.
At any level could go through and get five first downs. Not five, folks, the first quarter, or five the first half. Five first downs an entire game.
And win by two touchdowns. Unbelievable.
Folks, you can't make this stuff up.
And Cam Newton took him right down the field, and then I don't even understand that play they ran with the stupid pitch that they did. It didn't even make sense, but dumb play. And then not a lot of effort from Cam Newton to try and tackle.
Well, how about the way they
free safety?
How about the way they went into the half? Lollygagging their way.
Oh, yeah, they didn't even get up 19 seconds, and didn't get up onto the line of scrimmage and spike it in time.
Hey, guys, this game, you got to have an offense. You go to the Super Bowl, you got to have an offense. We have total net yards of 85 yards passing, of which, one of them came on, 70? 70-some yards?
Yeah,
the bomb to Cohen.
Caught a bomb ball, right.
I think it was like 72 yards, 73 yards. We have a total, folks. Net yard, a total of 85 yards passing.
Tariq Cohen had
one. National football.
But guess what, though? Two-game win streak.
Stunned. Stunned.
I got you, but they're defying logic, but winning.
Get this. Trubisky was sacked four times and completed four passes, and yet he's the winner. And you know what? There's no question, jumping up 14 to nothing kept the training wheels on Trubisky. The Trubisky training wheels were mounted and bolted and then welded on. We weren't going to let him or anybody else get in the way. And two, while Carolina did everything they could to shoot themselves in the foot all day long, we didn't make those critical mistakes. But, I mean, you know, there's so much about this game that is going to help us as we move forward. And next week in New Orleans, it's going to be tough.
Dan, wait a minute. We were going to go to a break.
We are, OB.
When we go to the break, I want you to explain to me all the good stuff that happened. That's gonna move us forward, Dan.
The defense is going to keep scoring. That's how we're going
to
win.
We're going to go
to the Super
Folks,
Bowl.
This is going to be real
scoring.
Good.
Hey, I'm just saying, after we get over the fact that this game has set the NFL back 20 years, well, I'll tell you about all the good stuff.
All right. Hang in there, folks. We'll tell you.
312-981-7200. Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. With you till 6, Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Bears beat the Panthers 17-3. They're 3-4 on their way to New Orleans. Then the bye, right in the thick of it in the NFC North on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears beat the Panthers 17-3. 54,000 plus at Soldier Field. About 7,000. No show / tickets perhaps not sold, as it was some open seats there. I was just looking around myself. I don't know if you guys noticed it. Just pointing that out.
One thing.
Yeah.
The Bears, their fans, they reach far, okay? Now, my daughter Gigi is in Iowa, and to visit dear friends of hers, Carol and Bruce, they're great people. They have a giant farm. And they do all. My daughter went there for the weekend. Now, I want to tell you what. Great Bear fans, I know they're listening. Hi, you guys, Bruce and Carol and my daughter, Gigi. Okay? But I want to – now, here, hold
Can
on.
I take John Fox to the farm next time?
Hold the horses, big boys. Guess what town they live in?
What town?
Hampton, Iowa.
There it is.
Hot dog.
Hampton, Iowa. Now they're naming towns after you, big boy.
Holy cow. Hey,
that's a fact.
Maybe we don't want to take Fox to Hampton.
Well, look, hey, we got to give, again, you know, all the stats say they shouldn't have won today, but the one that mattered the most is the defense was flying around, and, you know, it's taken them so long to get turnovers and create turnovers. The last 2 weeks, it's kind of like anything else. When you start doing it, you start doing it well. All of a sudden, the Bears' defense is flying around. They believe they're a beast, and quite frankly, they're playing like beasts right now. These guys are shutting people down.
Here, you got the catalyst behind that whole defense. Last year, this has been Akeem Hicks. Make no mistake about it. He busts up every play. Trevathan, when he's not doing stupid things, he's more than a quality player. But the biggest key was the revitalization of our defensive backs. And finally, Fangio, our defensive coordinator, letting the guys go after him. Because the 3-4 is an aggressive defense. We haven't been that way till this year. We were today, and I hope the hell we keep it up.
Let's do the Mueller game-changing moment, sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Maryville. Hamp, who do you got?
It's going to be Eddie Jackson with the scoop and score. From that moment on, the Carolina Panthers offense was in confusion. And more importantly, hey, let's throw out a little kudo to Vic Fangio. Vic Fangio, the coordinator, has kind of run under the radar. You know, up until the 13th week last year, I think there was number six in the league. And then everything kind of fell apart at the end, injuries and discontent, whatever you want to call it. And they kind of fell out of it and became like the 15th best defense. All that being said, the last 2 weeks against two quarterbacks that competed in Super Bowls. One of them, the guy last week, won a Super Bowl, Joe Flacco. Cam Newton played in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. Against Super Bowl quarterbacks, you know, competitors.
Say whatever you want, right, right.
They've given up, guess what, four field goals. Four field goals in 120 minutes of NFL competition. And I don't care if you're playing against Henry Burse. You hold teams without a touchdown in this day and age, and OB, you preach it week after week. You got to know the rules. It's a wide open vertical game, and guess what? Nobody can do it. And you made a great point. The defensive line, with Akeem Hicks being the catalyst, has been very, very good. Eddie Goldman, Bruce Unrein. McPhee actually showed up today with a sack and another pressure or two. But more importantly, the defensive backfield, and give Ed Donatell, the secondary coach, great credit. Kyle Fuller has emerged and become what we thought he was going to be when he was a first-round pick 4 years ago. But not only that, Eddie Jackson showed you the type of ball skills he had today that we haven't had at safety since Mike Brown, and that's been 20 years.
Adrian Amos was great, too.
Well,
Adrian Amos played great, but I got to tell you, they are contesting. They almost have a chip on their shoulder now. Instead of letting people run wide open and embarrass us, now they're contesting every single throw. It's glorious to watch. And when you get their pass rush going, that's how you get a team and hold them to four field goals in two straight contest.
Well, let me just jump in
and
here.
And they've scored 21 points, three touchdowns to boot in those 120 minutes.
Absolutely.
Let me just jump in here. When I mentioned about Akeem Hicks, I mentioned it last week. Folks, this guy is a force unto himself. He is this guy blows up runs. He makes other people get tackles, get sacks. He never gets stymied at the line of scrimmage, which reminds me of the gentleman to my right, guy by the name of Dan Hampton, who's in the Hall of Fame.
Here's a
and
20.
I have never seen, I've never seen since Dan somebody dominate in the middle of the way Dan did. Dan blew it up game after game, week after week, year after year, and that's why, my friend, you're in the Hall of Fame. This kid, Akeem Hicks, I hope he stays healthy, because I'll tell you what, he is the real deal, and it has to start somewhere. It starts up front, and we got the guy in Akeem Hicks.
And to his credit, he just got paid, and he's playing better. That doesn't always happen that way.
How often do we not see that?
Right.
I mean, most of the time, it's everybody hits the skids and starts looking for a break and a couple of plays off, and I'm tired, and I got a bad knee. This guy, he wouldn't come out of the game. They brought in reserves. They kept bringing in the different players. Bruce Unrein was being spelled. by number 90. She's
Harris.
No, he
oh, Hubbard.
God, I'm drawing a – he's played at Florida.
You're talking about Bullard?
Bullard.
Jonathan Bullard.
Right.
He played an awful lot today. But more importantly, Hicks knows he has great value to the defense, and he has pride, and he plays like it. And is great to see. We haven't had that in a long time. We've had a lot of guys, you know, play hard, make a tackle or two, and then raise their hand, want to come out and stand on the sideline and watch for about 5 plays.
And he'll even get tired and be exhausted and still go as hard. Yeah. I mean, he really does leave it out there.
It's great to see in the year 2017.
Let me make one more point about Akeem Hicks, okay? When you play that inside, the I-man, inside guy, or defensive tackle, whatever you want to call it, position 3, 5, 6, 9, 28, whatever the hell it is. Anyway, that's a guy. I'm telling you something. I tip my hat to that guy. Boy, does he come to play.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears Conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OP Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears 17, Carolina 3. The Bears a winner today at Soldier Field. They've won two in a row for the first time since 2015. Heading to New Orleans next week, see if they can win three in a row heading into the bye week. Yes, Hukhauser.
You know, Ed talked about the crazy stats on offense. Well, here's a crazier stat, as Dan pointed out.
That's impossible.
Our defense has outscored the last two opponents' offense by 8 points. Now, think about it. When was the last time you've seen that in the National Football League?
Never.
Where a defense has scored 21 points and have given up only 4 field goals in the last 120 minutes of football. I mean, that's incredible.
You're talking about Never Never Land.
Right. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Everything about this is just ridiculous.
Well,
if you want 5 first downs and 4 sacks.
Right.
And we win. All right, let's hit the phone.
And credit to Eddie Jackson, by the way. The Bears tweeting this out. The first player in NFL history with multiple 75-plus yard defensive touchdowns in the same game. Never happened in the history of the league. Guy picks up a fumble, goes 75-plus.
Oh, multiple ways of scoring.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, the kid, he's got a knack. He's special. Thank goodness, you know.
And hey, we got him. Hey. We got him on the cheap, if you think about it. A fourth rounder.
Oh, yeah. Super cheap.
Hey, I mean, you know, that's amazing.
Hey, guys, wouldn't it be great if Trubisky threw a pass to our receivers
and they
that
caught
went 78 yards?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be something to really cheer about?
Well, that's in the future.
This is not going to happen.
Yeah, but Cone is the guy. You know, he is our one wide receiver,
Glenn,
right?
This is not going to happen game after game after game where we're intercepting passes and running the back two, three times for touchdowns.
Right.
It's not going to happen. What the hell should be happening is us figuring out a way to get the ball downfield, convert on third down, get first downs, and put some damn points on the board.
And put big boy
pants
on.
That's what this game is about.
Put big boy pants on, Ed.
You're damn right.
No, you're right. On offense. We got to grow up on offense.
Let's get Mike in here, 312-981-7200. What's up, Mike? Welcome to WGN. Thanks for being patient.
Oh, no. Hey, thanks, guys. Hey, OB, I got a quick question for you before I give you my comment. Do you happen to know, I grew up in Lombard, Illinois, and you know, I'm 54 years old, but there was a restaurant called King Edward's Restaurant in Lombard. And there was a thing on Facebook. They showed the menu and the prices from 1965, and it was unbelievable. Here's a question I have. The guy on Facebook said that, do you happen to know, because you played with Mike Ditka and Ditbuckus, they share an apartment on the second floor of that restaurant. Do you know if there's any truth to that?
No, it's not true. No, Mike Ditka. When Mike Ditka came to the Bears, he was married. And when Dick Butkus came, Dick got married to Helen. They were like high school sweethearts, and they were married. So that's not true.
Mike, appreciate the phone call. That was a weird way to start the show. But
yeah, strange on a Bears defensive victory.
Hey, gentleman asked the question. You got an answer.
He did. Do you know?
Speaking of strange ways of scoring.
Yeah, I mean, my God.
No.
Who did Ditka live with at 62? I mean, come on.
65.
Love you. My bad.
We're full of information.
Way to go, Mike. Appreciate you. Robert, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm with OB. Like, I just feel like I got a bad taste in my mouth. Like, the defense played great today. Like, they were awesome. Like, they balled out the last 2 weeks. But we can't –
See, hey, no, Robert, sorry. Ed is trying to get the headphones because he's not picking up what you said. So start again if you could, please.
Okay. I got a bad taste in my mouth. Like, I was watching the game, you know, halfway through the third quarter, and my wife looked at me and said, you know, why do you have that look on your face? Like, I had a disgusted look on my face, and it was because the offense is not doing what we need them to do. You know, like, we were up 14-3. Like, we should be able to put this game away. You know, that when you get gifted two touchdowns as an offense, you got to go out there and you got to score some points. You know, I mean, they're putting the kid in a box, and I understand, you know, he's a rookie and, you know, this is his third game starting, but, I mean, we're not winning the Super Bowl this year. I mean, you got to let this kid get out there and, you know, make some plays, you know, open up that playbook and, you know, let him move the ball down the field. You know, when we're throwing 70-yard passes to Tariq Cohen, like, where are our wide receivers? Like, I didn't see Kendall Wright.
We don't
Wright
have any. You know, Robert, Kendall thanks. Wright is a good wide receiver. Hey. He is a good. Kendall Wright's a solid receiver. This, but
how about what a call that was, Robert? That's that you're spot on. You're correct in the way your feelings are about the game. And when we were up 14-0, the offense should have went out there and put it away. You know, when you got them down, step on them. You know, and get the win. But our offense didn't do that. And what can happen eventually, if we don't do that, it's, you know, we're going to get caught short. But a great call, Robert.
Robert, and I think case in point is after Cam Newton threw the interception to Danny Trevathan, we're set up, ready to go to work. So what do? Very first play, we get an illegal alignment penalty on the rookie Tanner Gentry. And then the second, so we have mark it off. Now it's 1st and 20. And then Bobby Massey jumps off sides. We have back-to-back penalties. Then we run another play, nondescript play. And then the third play was an illegal motion penalty. No, excuse me, delay a game. We burned the clock out. It was like we had no idea what we were trying to do because it was sudden change. And, hey, we get the ball instead of us going, and as you said, OB, putting a foot on their throat, we stumble around and look as bad as the Panthers did on offense all day. So you're exactly right. But here's the thing, guys.
Poor coaching, look, though. That's been our complaint all year. Poor coaching,
you're
right,
exactly
Dan? That's
correct.
What it goes back to.
Okay, but still, we got away with it today because of the two great plays that were made on defense. But, you know and I know, John Fox being the whatever you want to call him.
The bumbler.
You know, the bumbler-in-chief. He went to Dow Loggins and said, I don't want anything risky with this kid. We're just going to sit here and ride it out, burn the clock, and get out of here. And you're exactly right. They had the ball 38 minutes. We had it 21. They should have been able to come back on us. They didn't. Credit our defense.
Can you imagine a 17-minute difference, folks, in a game? I don't want to go on. Let's get to the call.
312-981-7200, just if you were wondering. The Bears did win 17-3.
No, I think everybody knows that.
Okay, it
was like with Robert's call. It's like mystifying. You know, like, okay, fine. You
You're
got 14
happy,
points defensively.
But you know it's not going to work.
What his point was, how about offensively? How about going after him and putting the game away?
Right.
Instead of playing scared to death football.
I think a lot of people look at this offense, though, as incapable of doing that. And so if you do get the lead, they're going to I don't think it's going to change, is my point.
Like, sell this, the damn team, get rid of the coach, and get rid of the players. Get somebody in here that wants to win and understands the rules of this game, that apply it to the people that you have out on the field. Just aggravating as hell.
Hey, and folks, hey, we're in a quandary here. We want the Bears to win. We want them to do well. But we saw a team today that was basically strangled by their head coach's refusal to let them become aggressive and go out and assert themselves. Instead, let's be real cautious. Let's be real calculated
don't
here.
Turn the ball over.
And don't turn the ball over, and we'll get out of here with the win. And then they can all slap each other on the back as they watch film tonight.
312-981-7200. Let's go to Joe, who's talking about next week. Go ahead, Joe. You're on WGN.
Hi. OB, are you there right now?
Yes, he is.
I got my headset on.
He is here.
Okay. They told me to get to the point the producer. OB, I know you call. I win our last two games, winning ugly. It looks like it. But would you agree to get to the point here where our Alabama boy, that if we can beat New Orleans, our defense especially is for real in the Bears?
Well, listen, It's the reality of it is we won the game. That's the reality of it. But I don't know if you can stack wins playing like this. I doubt it very seriously. You can't have five first downs in a game of football and expect to win. That's the point. Now, if we can go to New Orleans and shut Drew Brees down, that's a pretty big statement. But we'll find out next week.
Well, New Orleans is on the turf. They are a team with a lot of wide receiver and skill position players, and they throw the ball around like crazy, and they put 26 up on Green Bay. So the point is, you're going to have to at least score 21 points on combined, whether it's offense, defense, and special teams, to have a shot in New Orleans.
We're not going to tiptoe through the tulips, folks, playing football like this. I tell you, we're going to get hit hard. One of these weeks, maybe two, 3 weeks in a row, we're going to get hit pretty damn hard. Reality's going to set in sooner or later.
Let's take a little macro look of how they're developing Mitchell Trubisky and what they're letting him do.
Nothing.
So he's learning something, but he's not learning a whole lot in your guys' opinion? Is that about accurate?
Okay. And again, he attempted 7 passes today. Folks, think about that. 7 passes. Roethlisberger just attempted 9 in the last drive. They scored a touchdown. He attempted 7 passes in 60 minutes of NFL competition. So you tell me, what do you think they're trying to do? They're trying to minimize exposure and get to the next game. And that's going to come back and bite you. Trust me. Here's the thing about the New Orleans Saints. Their defense is playing better, but their offense has always been unbelievable, especially in that dome. And here's the reason why. They have 7 different wide receivers, 4 different running backs, and 3 different tight ends. Every one of them will catch at least one ball or maybe at the very least. So you have to play complete coverage of the entire field. Now, we didn't have to do that today. We didn't have to do it last week. Both of those quarterbacks, for whatever reason, they were terrible, and their offensive coordinators are very poor. But trust me, Sean Payton will realize a way that he can get the ball out quick, negating our pass rush, and expose whatever weaknesses we have in our secondary. That means we better be ready to score at least 4 touchdowns or don't even get on the plane, because we will need to score against the Saints.
Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy. DriveChicago.com. We'll hear from Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field. We'll hear from you. Yes, OB?
You know, I'd like to say something to real quick here to our listeners.
Yeah.
What do they think the past 2 games of our quarterback Trubisky? We drafted him 1. There was for a reason. And we're tightening this kid down. Last week, we tightened him down more. What do you think about that? Shouldn't we be loosening up a little bit?
I think everybody agrees with you, Ed. It's time to let him play like a first-rounder.
We're regressing
this
kid.
Make some mistakes.
We're pulling him back.
And throw the ball.
We're taking what he does good and well. We're taking it away from him. And we're playing scared football.
You're exactly right. And
that's the problem.
But see, here's the thing. The offensive coordinator is being overrode by the head coach. The head coach don't care if he attempts 7 passes or 700. If he wins, he gets to keep his job. So, unfortunately, with the lead, there was no need for him to throw it 70 times, 700 times. So that's why we only saw 7 passes.
What's been happening the last couple of games of this year, I'm telling you, folks, it's not going to continue. We're not going to be winning games like this anymore. Guarantee you we're not.
We've gotten all the breaks, all the penalties, all the good.
Everything has followed our way. And look, though, as long as we keep doing it, that's great. But eventually, you want to go to the Super Bowl, which Bear fans team wants to do and the city wants them to do. You have to have that kid start to progress. And you're seeing that kid down in Houston. Once they put him in, another first-round kid, and turned him loose, Mark, that kid's playing well. But he has some stinkers where he made some bad throws. But he is a much better quarterback 5 weeks later.
I'm just telling you this. They're holding this kid back. Was bad enough last week. Today what I saw out there was terrible. That's not the way you bring a quarterback along. John Fox and Pace, our general manager. Are you listening?
Quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears beat the Panthers 17-3. The defense looks borderline elite. The offense is not being allowed to do much, which has
they've been elite the last 2 weeks. They're probably the best defense in the league in the last 2 weeks. Even statistically, I think you could put them there.
I mean, they're getting pressure up front. The secondary looks extremely active. It's great to see. All right, let's get some more calls in here. 312-981-7200. John wants to talk about the third down play calling. John, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, man.
It drives me nuts. It's happened several games in a row where it's third and one. You see the opponent stacking the line. They got everybody up there. They know the Bears are going to run. The Bears try to run, and they get stuffed. Here's a perfect opportunity if you're a good team or if you have some courage. You fake the handoff and throw a short pass. The Bears, they constantly take the cowardly way out.
You're right.
All right, John.
You're right, John. You're right. I mean, what they've done all year, and Ed, I know you would agree with what John just said. Oh. He goes, there is no imagination. You know, a third and one, hey, why don't we fake a dive and pull up and, you know, have a tight end that we have that's not a pretty good runner and throw it down the field to him. Why not? That's crazy.
But it all starts in or originates at the top from John Fox.
Right.
Ultra-conservative. But think about how cowardly it was to start Glennon for 4 weeks.
You're right.
When we had no chance of winning. We backed into a win against the Pittsburgh Steelers when they didn't want to play. But the smart, aggressive move would have been start this kid early and think about how much better he would be tonight.
It begs to differ, Dan. When you go with Pace, our general manager, and whoever all got involved, the hierarchy or with John Fox, and you go out in free agency and you find Mike Glennon and give him 45 plus million, 18.5 guaranteed, and he's your guy for 3-4 months and you got him running, and then you give up an entire draft to get Mitch Trubisky, somebody lost their mind up there?
Well, that's normal. You would get fired. Any other business, you get fired for that kind of a move.
If Pace was in the real world,
in any other business, you get
been
fired
launched
for
from
that.
The 20th floor.
100%.
Tariq Cohen caught a 70-yard ball today. Eddie Jackson ran into two plays, and Mitchell Trubisky was starting. I'd say it was a pretty good day for Ryan Pace overall. I mean, come on. In this draft, if you look at those are his guys. They're out there. They're
we
making plays.
We understand that, but the colossal blunder was
Glennon.
You're designating that Mike Glennon would be your starter.
Wait a minute.
Holding the city hostage.
Okay.
Let me tell you something. You can't blow money like that. If you're out in the real world in a corporation and you have a guy that blows about $65-75 million on one deal, your backside would be out the door, pal.
And don't think that it's not like the McCaskies are this big corporation.
It's
a family business, too. So the fact that they've tolerated is pretty remarkable because that's a hard one to swallow for any business.
Absolutely.
Any business. Hey, you can't absorb those kind of hits.
They're going to have all the players selling cookie dough to make up that in the offseason.
It's the Mike Glennon cookie dough push.
Well, you know, now that the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts are combined, they'll just do cookies.
That's my point.
Obi, I am with you 1,000% on Mike Glennon. I didn't get it when they did it. I didn't get it. I didn't get it in the summer. I didn't get it week one. I don't get it now. I'll never get it. So
right.
I'm with you 100%.
But I get your point too, Markey, that he did. You know, three of his players played well.
He had a good day today.
And the reason it was done was so they would have the old fallback. Oh, he's an existing quarterback. He's a veteran. You know, the old safe and fail-proof fallback of Glennon.
No,
well, he was a disaster.
Right.
All right, we're going to the 4 o'clock hour. Thanks to all our friends on CLTV. With you till 6 on 720 WGN.
Third and 10 for Carolina. Early stages, second quarter. Newton, popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Touchdown Bears. The magic number is 75.
WGN. Bears a winner over Carolina, 17-3. Hamp and OB and Kaz with you till 6 o'clock, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, 312-981-7200. Just a simple question here before we get to the phones. Do you think that the Bears are holding Mitchell Trubisky back from what he's going to do, and we're still going to see it, Or do you think because of the way they're going about their game plan, they're actively negatively impacting his future as a quarterback? That's my question for you three.
Hey, let's get to the calls. It'll all come out and wash with the calls.
All right, you want to go to the calls? Let's go to the calls.
And the answer is yes.
Yes. Yes.
In a simple way, yes.
Yes, okay.
All right. My answer would be, are you kidding me?
Of course it's yes. Of course. This is what he's saying.
Okay. Let's get Bob in here then. Bob, welcome to WGN. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And I tell you, with your knowledge, emotion, and passion, no matter what happens on the field, you guys make my day. So I just have a couple comments. Number one, how long has it been we finally have a defensive backfield stepping up that's allowing our front seven to make covered sacks? I don't think we've seen that in years.
A long time.
Correct. Yeah.
Number two, you know, when it's third and one or shorter, you know, we have our starting offensive line in place with a stud center. Why not run a quarterback sneak once in a while with two tight ends in there? And number three, right before the end of the half, when Carolina made the long pass down the field and got the ball on the 10-yard line, their receiver was standing there posing for pictures as the clock was running to zero.
Yep.
Now, is it the ref's responsibility to get the ball from him, or is he supposed to throw the ball to the ref? Because the ref went and grabbed it, threw it to the center of the field so they could get a playoff. So I'll hang up and listen to your answer. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bob.
To answer the last question, Bob, absolutely, it's the player's responsibility in that moment. You know, I've seen receivers get up, sprint over, and put the ball down on the hash. The guys that have their head in the game, that's what they do. This guy was posing, and, you know, the refs do have an obligation to try and get the ball in place as quickly as they can, but there's nothing that says they've got to run over and do it.
Absolutely. And as a defensive player, we were told, hold the backs down, don't let them get out of the huddle, off the ground, try to retard everything, to burn as much time as you can before they can place it. That receiver, was it a 13, Benjamin?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was just idiotic showboating. And, yes, it did cost his team because it was a one-second differential. And, again, they were called with a motion penalty because they were so sloppy getting up there to the line. But the second question was about a stud center. Which stud center are you talking about? We ain't got one. Cody Whitehair is barely holding his own. He didn't have any errant snaps today, but we virtually ran with, you know, quarterback on the center most of the day because of the lead. We didn't have to go with the shotgun snap. But the other thing is, Cody Whitehair may be a good player, but we, all three of us, are not with, you know, the prevailing logic of a bunch of the media people that he's a great center. He's not.
He's a guard.
He and you know what? So much of the time, he is a negative on a lot of the running plays. He gets stymied and stuffed back. One time, somebody threw him into the running back and made the tackle by throwing him backwards into the running back. So, again, we've got some issues with the way he's able to block.
And you never run your – you know, quarterback sneaks – your quarterback is your most important player in today's rules in the NFL. So you don't want to risk an injury with him running that quarterback sneak too often.
Mitch Trubisky, by the way, comments coming out of the locker room. We'll hear from Adam Hogue. We can hear from Mitch Trubisky as well. I thought I played really poor. I just got to be better overall. So that's his self-assessment of how he was today.
Yeah, what he's speaking to is he got sacked four times. That's basically what he's talking about.
But he did hold the ball a couple of times a little bit too long. That's true.
Well, here's a shocker. He's timid and not feeling like he can open up and take chances. Oh, yeah, you're right. They're not holding him back.
I asked the question. It was a simple asking of the question. I was setting you up.
Let's go.
Giving you the
alley. Get to the call.
Mitch Lucas wants to ask the same question or make the same point. What's up, Lucas? Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I just want to appreciate the time. OP Danimal, my dad, has been a longtime fan. You guys are the voice of Chicago. I really do appreciate what you guys do. But here's the thing. Mitchell Trubisky has bubble wrap around him. He is scared. And we go to New Orleans next week, and if we don't open up that offense, we are done. And Deshaun Watson was a proven winner. Did we make a mistake? I hope not. But to me, you know, it's tough to say. So I don't know where we go from here. But thank you for the call, and I'll see what you guys say from here.
You got it, Lucas.
Well, where they should have went with it, Lucas, it's very simple. Obviously, they again, they thought enough of this kid to move up a notch from third to second, give up the draft, and give him, I don't know, I think Danny told me somewhere around $25 million. Okay, the day he got into camp here, they should have been working on him before the exhibition season. He should have been playing in the exhibition season, and you got to get the kid ready to go. What you see out there, he has regressed. He has not gotten forward from week one to week two, so to speak. So my question would be, what the hell has he been doing in his backup role as a quarterback during the week? Who's been working with him? Has he been staying out there extra time and running the pass routes with his receivers, throwing the ball to him? Has that been going on? I don't know. But I'll tell you, it should have been going on because they've got this kid. I mean, they've got him in handcuffs.
He's got his best chemistry with Tanner Gentry. Those two have worked the most together. But
But that's because they chose to have him work with him, Mark, because they ran him out in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. They had the butt fumbler in before him. Think about it. Mark Sanchez, the butt fumbler, was taking snaps before.
That's how they started the preseason.
He hasn't been active.
Yeah,
so all those who were wasted. Wasted downs, wasted chances to improve this young kid that now
never did.
Obviously is getting a little bit more overwhelmed. See, last week against Baltimore, the Baltimore Ravens, in an effort to, you always hear, oh yeah, well, no rookie quarterback had ever won at Baltimore. Well, they wanted to do something different, so their defense played cover two, 41 different snaps during the course of the game last week. When they, up to that point, had only played it one snap in five games. So they were trying to confuse him by showing something different than what they had on film. Well, obviously, it did have a certain effect because he was unable to be as proficient as what he had been in different times and different places through the preseason and in the other games that he had played. But one thing is, OB, and I'll let you jump right on top of this. Sooner or later, his skills have got to be developed where he is able to get out of the pocket after the run is established and the defense is now feeling the run and utilize the bootleg and counters and throwbacks. All those things this kid is going to be special at. We didn't do it once today.
Hampton will be sponsored by Parent Petroleum. And let's also do Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring. Who brought it, Hamp?
Well, how can you not say Eddie Jackson? He scored twice on great plays, but you got to think Akeem Hicks. You know, all year long, the guy has been a force. You know, we're now 3-4. 7 games in on a new contract, it's like he's playing for another contract. He's playing super.
312-981-7200. Let's get a couple more calls in here, and you can line on up as well. Adam Hogue with us at 4:30. Let's see here. Pete wants to talk about the lack of weapons on offense. Go ahead, Pete.
Hi, Dan, Ed. This is Pete. I just feel sorry for Trubisky. He's not throwing to Antonio Brown. He's not throwing to Odell Beckham. He's not throwing to Travis Kelce. He's throwing to third-string practice squad players who can't get open against first-string cornerbacks and safeties. So he's going to either get killed back there or he's just going to hand the ball off.
Well, you're exactly right. And how does Trey McBride start for an NFL football team? Think about it. And I saw two or three times on just cheap little plays where all he has to do is turn his shoulders and screen a defender, and he couldn't even do that. So you're exactly right. And think about all the money that was spent for some of these receivers, like Reuben Randall and Marcus Wheaton. These guys have been zeros. And then when you stack it on top of the fact that Kevin White and Cam Meredith were essentially lost for the season before it even started, he does not have anybody that can beat single coverage. And so now it's a grab bag of him trying to find Tarik Cohen when he can and two or three tight ends that he kind of somewhat trusts in as far as Miller and Sims. They need to get Shaheen more involved. But you know what? Sooner or later, we've got to be able to establish something down the field. Otherwise, we're going to see 8-man box from now until the cows come home.
I tell you, I said it last year, and I'll say it again. Some of these receivers we have on our team have no business even being in this league. No business being in this league. And if it's a slam, it's a slam. If it is what it is, it is. I mean, my Lord, we attempted 7 passes and completed 4 of them in 60 minutes of football in the year 2017. I mean, folks, I just stumble around here. It's unbelievable. And this has to stop. And guess what? Let's say Wheaton, he's our first string, one of our wideouts. There's another wideout, whatever. No, do you realize in the 4th game of the exhibition season, the following week we open up, they sit those receivers? For heaven's sakes, they're lucky they catch a pass. Lucky they know where they're running, how to run a route. They think 7-on-7 is the wherewithal. There's nothing like the exhibition season to get ready to play real football. And we sit these people more than half the time in 4 exhibition games, and we're supposed to win football games and be a passing power. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, last week, Kendall Wright caught 2 passes. Today, Tanner Gentry. That's right. Tanner Gentry was the only wide receiver to catch a pass. So that tells you about the dearth of talent at that position.
That's why you get upset here, and folks, we watch this, and to get negative, I mean, this has been going on. I can't tell you how many years. My God, it's right in front of you. There's other ways. There's ways to win in this league, and we can't seem to find it. We can't seem to find a head coach. We can't seem to find the coordinators. We can't seem to find the position coaches, let alone we can't find receivers.
Quick timeout here. Bears beat the Carolina Panthers 17-3. There was 3 people, 1 receiver that caught balls today. Tariq Cohen caught a ball. Zach Miller caught 2. Tanner Gentry caught 1. Kendall Wright's pass that you mentioned last week, that was Mitchell Trubisky's best play as a Bear. 3rd down.
Essentially won the game 11, for us.
Right?
After Fox stumble-bummed around and finally kicked a field goal. But one last thing. Wins are wins, and we don't want to lose sight of the fact they were able to find a way to win 2 games in a row was essentially a completely defunct NFL offense. Now, just think, once we start finding a way, man, this could be better. And by the way, no offense, we got a defensive coordinator. Vic Fangio is doing a good job.
Let me tell you something. You got to win an offense in this league, Dan. Where the hell are we going to find the players, let alone the coaches, let alone the scouts, to bring the offensive players in there? How is, on God's green earth, is that going to happen?
The same guy that drafted Kevin White and signed Mike Glennon is finding the receivers.
Yeah, so it'll be okay. Don't worry,
folks,
Ed. He's reaching out and getting.
That was a real big
Wheaton
joke.
Wheaton, too, was another one, although he hasn't played
either.
He's been injured. Right?
Obi, we're gonna just send all sorts of positive vibes your way for the last 90 minutes of this show. It's all the Bears, I'm going to tell you this right now, the Bears are on a positive path right now. Good things are happening. They need wide receivers. They need them bad, but they're going to find them.
If they win, don't even go there, Mark. That's ridiculous.
But
you congratulate them on the win. A win is a win. We said that. But again, there's some things that are right and true, and you look at these statistics, they're beyond description. They're unbelievable.
17-3, Bears beat the Panthers. We're here till 6 on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Going to talk to Adam Hoge at 4:30, right after the 4:30 news. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. This is John Fox talking about his decision to go for the field goal up 14-3 when the Bears were down at the goal line. Quote, "I think when you look at it, and you have the ball at the 1-yard line, you do something on first down, it didn't work. You do something on second down, it didn't work. You do something on third down, it didn't work. What on earth makes you think something good is going to happen on fourth down? I'll just make it simple for you. We had the ball to start the 3rd quarter. We knew that going in. We wanted to get 3 points versus 0. Does anybody have a problem with any of that?
No. I mean, you kick the field goal there. You take your points.
I mean, he was getting barbecued on Twitter for it. I'm like, I got no problem with taking the points there.
You take the points. And again, if he didn't take the points and didn't score, the offense would have 0 points on the day. So at least in some small way, there's, you know, a solace there that, oh, well, we at least scored a field goal.
I liked the
And you got to take points there. I mean, it's the end of the half. And Rivera, actually, I thought he should have taken the points in the middle of the third quarter on the 21-yard
line. I agree. I would have
kicked the field goal there. Not that it would have mattered, but you got to gobble up points when you can.
All right, let's talk to Adam after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN.
I thought I played really poor. I just got to be better overall. Did pretty good with the operation and stuff like that, but we got to be better in the pass game to open up the run game.
Mitchell Trubisky doing some self-reflection. Bears beat the Panthers 17-3. He did take a sack that knocked him out of field goal range. That wasn't great. He had odd choices on third downs, and he was also not allowed to do a whole lot. Hamp, OB, and Kaz with you till 6 on 720 WGN. Let's bring in Adam Hoge out at Soldier Field covering the football game for WGN Radio. Read his Bears blog at WGNradio.com. Hoagie, let's talk about the quarterback. He was a little hard on himself afterwards, huh?
Yeah, he sure was. And I think he's a little bit too hard on himself, to be honest. I thought, you know, he overthrew Zach Miller at one point. That ball probably should have been picked off. I thought that was really his first really bad throw in a couple weeks, probably since the interception against the Vikings a couple weeks ago. You know, other than that, you just mentioned the sack, which kind of knocked him out of field goal range, at least didn't help with the 52-yarder that Barthes had his field goal blocked. It just tipped enough that it hit the crossbar. That was not a good play either. But, I mean, I don't know. I have to go back and watch all those sacks. Sacked four times. It was tough to see if anyone was open. I don't think they were. Go back and watch the film and check that. I didn't think he got a whole lot of help from his offensive line today. A lot of pressure from the left side, at least on one of those sacks. And they just didn't open up enough holes in the running game to complement the offense. And then, obviously, I think we're all going to kind of criticize the overall philosophy and game plan here, because it's certainly been hard to watch when you only throw a ball seven times. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, no, we've been talking about that. I mean, the remarkable stat, Adam, is that the defense in the last two games have outscored the opponent's offenses by 8 points. I mean, you know, and the truth is, you just can't do that every week. So eventually the offense has to get going, and, you know, they got to figure out ways to get wide receivers open, picks or something. And, you know, it seemed like he was under center a lot, too. Were they worried about white hair and the snapping?
You know, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that. It might have something to do with it. Because if you can't trust your center and shotgun snaps, that's a tough thing. You know, as hard as it is to watch, I do think, again, though, we might not like it, but this is John Fox's MO. It's probably to an extreme level, but they have a two-possession lead. He's going to shut it down offensively, especially when, you know, he's got a rookie quarterback and no wide receivers. It's, you know, it sounds like excuses, and I'm not defending the philosophy. I'm just kind of saying how it is with John Fox. This is what he does. This is why the Broncos kind of got tired of him. He's so conservative, and all he cares about is getting the win. And he's getting them these last 2 weeks. I guess his philosophy of boring the opponent to death is working.
Hey, Adam, you know, and it's easy for Trubisky to be on a downer. And, yeah, when you complete four passes as an NFL quarterback, obviously there's a lot of, you know, whispers. Oh, well, what's going on? And I have tried to you know, mainstay. Hey, John Fox knows, hey, you got a 14-point lead, and unless they do something, you don't have to do a whole lot. And unfortunately, we didn't do a whole lot. But that being said, Mitchell Trubisky had completing four passes was better than his counterpart, the sloppy, unengaged Cam Newton. So he didn't have to do a whole lot of heavy lifting today. But all things being considered, we're looking down the road. And we're looking at next week. Was there any talk about this defense, you know, playing back-to-back, lights out, great games, basically allowing four field goals? You know, I know. They, in their heart of hearts, knows. They're going to have to score points in New Orleans if they want to come out with a win. Was there any talk about what they want to do as far as, you know, projecting what kind of a offense they want to have on the field next week?
Yeah, actually, and I think that that's more of what Mitch talked about after the game. I think the reason he was kind of so upset after the game wasn't necessarily because he played poorly. It's just I think the entire offense feels like they let the defense down. I mean, we don't have a first down until there's like 3 minutes. They didn't have a first down in the second half until there was like 3 minutes left in the game.
Right.
So, you know, we can talk about if they're throwing the ball enough or whatever, but at some point, you know, the players on the field have to block. They have to open up some kind of running lanes. You can't go three and out four times in a row. It's
but Adam,
acceptable.
They're going to stack the line of scrimmage and
yeah,
put everybody in the
yeah.
box unless you're willing to try and throw the ball down the field. I mean, you just, you know, that's the problem. You're not going to be able to run, and you're going to go three and out because defenses are going to crowd the line of scrimmage and say, we're not going to let you run on us.
And that's where I'm just, you know, as frustrated as you guys, because you have this quarterback that seems to have the ability. I don't think any of us are doubting or really upset with anything that Trubisky's done the last 3 weeks other than the interception late against the Vikings, which was a learning experience for him. He seems to have the ability to make these plays. We saw it in overtime last week. They don't win that game last week without Mitch Trubisky. So you're absolutely right, Kaz. When you talk about the defenses loading up the box, which is what – team should continue to do against the Bears, and I still don't understand why the Ravens and Steelers didn't do that.
Right.
But, you know, the Panthers did today, and at some point you got to call a pass to get out of it. And then the funny thing is they finally do call a first down pass, and Trubisky makes the throw. The catch was completed, and they have an illegal formation, probably because they forgot how to line up on a pass down, the passing play. I don't know because it's been so long, but I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah, there's no excuse for it, and it's not even, you know, as Ed has said, that's like a Pop Warner football team. So, but the good news is, look, the defense has a confidence about them now, and they believe they're going to outscore everybody. So, you know, I guess from that perspective, that's as good as you could get from a defensive standpoint, right?
And you guys know how helpless it is of just a feeling when you can't trust your defense. And look, we saw this defense go straight downhill under Mark Trestman and Mel Tucker. And when you can't stop teams, it doesn't really matter what you're doing offensively. The great thing about this team right now, and we're going to continue to put the microscope on the offense, and they do need to figure that out. They do need to somehow score points offensively against the Saints next week. But when you have this defense playing this way and taking the ball away all of a sudden the last 2 weeks, six takeaways in the last 2 weeks, you're going to have a chance. You're going to have a chance in pretty much every game when you have that going on for you. So they just need to find ways to take advantage going forward. But it's just at least a good feeling knowing that you're going to be in games with this defense.
Adam. This is what, our seventh game?
Seventh
game today?
3-4, OB.
The stuff that you're seeing, Adam, offensively, the stuff that you are seeing in our running game and in our passing game is all stuff that should have been worked out before game one. Believe me when I tell you, that should have all been worked out. They're sitting our receivers, they're sitting quarterbacks. Nobody's playing the fourth game, the third, the second game, the first game. It's like we've got 22 super all-heroes playing. We don't. And this all should have been worked out. I know everybody has their theory. My theory, you got to start with footing and foundation, and you got to build it from there. We never gave ourselves time enough to understand our players, to get the system in. So when that first game came, we were ready to play. We were ready to be a professional football team that understands the rules and how we're going to attack offensively and defensively. We were not ready, and offensively, we're still not ready.
Yeah, and I don't think it helps that, you know, you had such a drastic change at quarterback after four games, just the way the offense, you know, they're two different quarterbacks, two different philosophies. You lose your wide receivers, which is a, you know, sort of a more broader organizational issue that you didn't have enough depth. You didn't have great wide receivers to begin with, but now you have none. So there's a lot of excuses we can look at, and that's kind of what they are. But right now, offensively, they got to figure – I mean, that's obviously got to be the focus going forward in the second half of the season. They got to figure out a way to move the football.
And he scored points.
In their defense, when we started the season, way back against the Atlanta Falcons, who could have saw Mitchell Trubisky starting with wide receivers named Trey McBride, Tanner Gentry, yeah. and Marcus Wheaton? Nobody saw it. But here's the thing. All that being said, this is the hand they've been dealt. Somehow, somewhere, they got to win with four completions.
Danny,
it's unbelievable.
I can tell you who saw that. The scouts that went out and scouted them, the scouts that recommended them to this organization, and the coaches when they got here and they signed them, and the coaches that were supposed to teach them how to be a wideout, how to get separation. That's how it all started.
Adam, any injury news? And where was Kendall Wright?
Well, that's what I was just about to bring up. I mean, he didn't get a target today.
I didn't get it.
I'm interested to see the snap counts. Look, they believe that he's better when he comes off the bench fresh and is just in the slot. I think there might be a conditioning issue there, which is not something you want to hear. But if he can't play all those plays, I think that's something that is a factor. In terms of other injuries, you lose Roy Robertson Harris, one of your defensive linemen. That's just sort of a depth thing. He had a hamstring. And then Akeem Hicks, I'm still not exactly sure what the issue was with Akeem Hicks, but he is okay. He spoke after the game. He's a tough guy, and I think he's going to continue to be out there.
MVP, Adam. MVP of the team at this point in the season. So,
no question. He's been the best player on the field pretty much every week.
Any last word on Eddie Jackson and his performance?
Well, look, I'll just say this. There's how many times in the past, four or five years where there's a ball sitting on the ground and they just don't pick it up or get
they kick it out of bounds.
Or they dive on it. Yeah, they don't do it right.
Right. Or then you get a ball that's tipped, 20 feet in the air and the offense catches it instead of the safety who, in that situation, Eddie Jackson timed it perfectly. He's going full speed as he's catching the ball and he's off to the races. So
he's a ball hawk, right?
Yeah. How about this just for a final thought? A lot of people crushed this draft class, right after it happened back in the spring. And today you had the big pass from Trubisky to Tariq Cohen. They look like they can play. Eddie Jackson's starting to look like a difference maker at safety. And so, I don't know. And I don't know if they win this game today without these rookies. So they've at least there's some, a bright future, I think, for a few of those guys.
They don't. They absolutely
Amen.
Do not.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Adam, great stuff. Talk to you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Adam Hogue out at Soldier Field. Yes, Hampo.
I wanted to say this during the break, but I can't remember the receivers coach's name. But I remember vividly back in training camp talking about Kevin White and these. And instead of actual
in high school,
right? Yeah. It's all right. He had him watching film of when they were in college, saying, "Oh, you're a good player. Oh, you can make plays. Oh, you can catch. You can." Instead of working on fundamentals and all the different techniques that would behoove them in the NFL, he's showing them films of when they were in college trying to pump up their ego. So I'm just saying, unfortunately, a lot of times you get what you deserve, and this is what we got with the receivers.
Let me give you one piece of historical reference here, Hamp, that applies to you. The last time the Bears won completing four or less passes.
My guess would be never in the history.
It happened. Look, Ed, we would go into the fourth quarter. If we were up a point, it game over. As an offense, we just knew.
That's my answer.
Our offense, our game plan was, hey, just don't screw it up because our defense will win it for us.
Hamp played in the game.
Cincinnati.
It was December 6th, 1981.
Wow.
Bob Avellini was the quarterback.
Oh, Jesus.
He went 3-for-7, and the Bears beat the Minnesota Vikings 10-9 to improve to 4-10 on the year. The Vikings went to 7-7.
That's amazing.
That was Neil Armstrong's way out the door.
81. 81. Yeah. They did set the NFL back, that's 36 years.
36 years. And like I said, and that's when our defense, went to fourth in the league while we were losing games. Well, we won that one 10-9.
Yeah. You ought to have somebody check out when it was the last time before that. because I'm still sticking to my guns.
Yeah, you're right. No, but it is.
And I
funny.
Want somebody to double check those things about the Bears when Hampton was playing. I don't believe it because nobody could be that bad.
Well, 3 of 9.
I'm telling you though, I mean, the game plan was, hey, you know, we get to the fourth and we're up a point. Game over. Our defense is locking you down. It would have to be like the entire defense would have to get the stomach flu
for
somebody to score on them.
Bob Avellini, 3 of 7 for 84 yards, a touchdown, interception. He was sacked twice. Vince Evans came off the bench and threw 3 passes, 0 for 3.
I do know in 80, I think it was 84, we're in Seattle, and we had our defense at halftime. Seattle was minus 38 yards in total offense, and they were up 17-0.
That is impressive.
But that's kind of like,
look it up.
You know, that's kind of like what Carolina was doing. Yeah.
3 pick sixes, 2 pick sixes, and a field goal. We held them to 1 field goal.
All right. Quick timeout. I mean, we might hear from the quarterback, Mitchell. Yes, and we'll get some calls in here, OB. Don't you worry. 312-981.
Callers, hang in there.
There you go. 312-981-7200.
You get smacked. No, Mark, because you've let these people wait a long time, Ed. I'm a little bothered by it.
It's all on me. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN indeed. Bears beat the Carolina Panthers 17-3, completing 4 passes in the process. 4 for 7 for
Last
Mitchell.
Last time it happened was 1981.
Last time was 1981. Bob Avellini. Brian Bashnangle had a completion in that game. He was 1 for 1 for 18 yards. I don't know if you remember that play, Hamp, but that did happen.
Let's get to Judy.
Judy! What's up, Judy? Welcome to 720 WGN.
You guys, I've been waiting so long, I almost forgot what I was going to ask. Anyway.
We apologize for that. Judy, we apologize for that.
Judy,
it's Mark's fault.
We're sending Carmen to the basement dungeon after this.
It's only 55 minutes, Judy.
Dilly dilly.
Carmen.
I just wanted to comment on what Ed Obradovich said about how John Fox is scared for his job. And what would really happen if Trubisky went out there, and you guys have been talking about they're not letting him do his thing that he's good at. So why couldn't he go out there and call his own plays? What he thinks is going to happen the next play, like he did in college, and try to have him, like, do what he does best. What would happen to him?
He would never do that.
Put Glennon back in?
Yeah. Or the butt fumbler.
Yeah. No kidding.
Judy, you got a good point. They have no leverage. He could do whatever he wants.
He could just go out and start audibilizing.
All right.
White hair. I'm under center.
All right. Everybody done? Let's deal with reality.
Well, and if John Fox is so scared for his job, like, who calls these plays? I mean, I don't get it. You watch these games, and like everyone was saying that was calling in, on 3rd and 2 or whatever, why not do something different? Let Trubisky do what he needs to do to get the play done.
That's a good thought, Judy, actually. And, you know, he play action, boot him. Ed's been saying this, you know. He's been beating that drum for the 3 years that we've been working together. That's something that he believes in, and he's right. You know, that's the only way you could win football games.
Well, and I appreciate you guys taking my call. And, Dan, I know you don't remember me at all. I met you at Woodman's, and you signed my rum chata bottle, and you kept telling me, call in.
No, well, good. Thank you, Judy.
I love how you guys talk, and you make excellent points, and I hope Fox and the whole organization is listening, including Virginia. She needs to get involved. And another thing, Dan, real quick, if you ever go out to Rich Harvest Farms again, request my son as a caddy. His name is Matt.
I will do that.
That's it.
Thanks, Judy.
You got it.
All right.
All right, Judy.
Thank you.
The next request for me, I hope you're still listening. I'm going to forward your name to be the new general manager of this team. You made more sense here in the last couple of minutes. Oh, Lord.
Good job.
She might be able to identify talent better just on saying – just on the passing the look test, right?
Thanks, Judy.
Great call, Judy.
One quick little point on this.
Yes,
you know, Dow Loggins is the guy calling plays. Dow Loggins is, unfortunately, maddeningly erratic. Sometimes he gets into a sink and things look good. Today, we never got into sync. Give the Carolina Panthers some credit. They're a good defense. But ultimately, we've got to be better. We really do. And, yeah, we're happy they won. But, you know, power unused is power wasted. We need to capitalize on what we can do well. And we're not going to be able to run the ball if we keep having to, see 8-9-man boxes.
5 o'clock hour coming up here. One more hour of Hamp, OB, and Kaz to go. OB, we got to go to break. You looked very like
well, I got a point I want to make, but we'll wait till it comes back.
All right, right after the 5 o'clock news, we'll hear what OB's got to say. 720 WGN.
Protection holds up initially. Newton dumped again. Akeem Hicks, big presence for the Bears. Play fake. Newton in trouble again. Newton trying to break free. Leonard Floyd. Cam Newton under duress, and the Bears are getting pressure. Panthers have 2 timeouts remaining and the 2-minute warning, but they're down by 2 scores. Newton, pocket collapses. Newton is sacked. Pernell McPhee.
5 sacks on the day for the Chicago Bears, who beat Carolina 17-3. Half a sack for Eddie Goldman, a sack for Akeem Hicks, a sack for Danny Trevathan, a sack for Leonard Floyd, and half a sack for Mitch Unrein. I thought that let's do the defensive star of the game here, which is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Hampo, you
How can you not say Eddie Jackson was not the defensive star of the game? But if we could, what do you guys think about co-recipients with Akeem Hicks?
I would agree.
Yeah, Akeem Hicks has done and OB did a magnificent job of basically exhorting his great abilities to collapse the pocket, and all of them played a really good game. And you know the Carolina Panthers they got a bunch of almost useless yardage, because when you strip it away, they scored 1 field goal and only 3 last week to Baltimore. So they're on a hot streak, so everybody on defense is playing pretty well. By the way, last year we only had 1 interception from a safety on our defense. In back-to-back weeks, we've had 2 safety returns for pick-6 touchdowns. It's amazing.
There's a lot of great defensive stats out there for the Bears right now. 3 straight games now, 3 points or less in the first half. That's the first time since 2005, and that defense took the Bears to a Super Bowl, which, of course, did not work out. But that was the last time the Bears were actually looked like the Bears, so to speak. And, I thought there was just consistent pressure today all along.
Pressure was good. And, again, it was a lot of collapse in the pocket. Cam Newton couldn't get away. He couldn't get out. Couldn't make those 3 difference-maker plays a game that he normally does. You know, normally he'll get out of the pocket, buy a little time, throw a 50-yard pass to one of his receivers. It didn't happen today. So, and again, I used to say this all the time, OB, for a great pass rush to be week in and week out effective, you got to have wreckers and catchers. Leonard Floyd is a catcher. He can run quarterbacks down. Akeem Hicks is a wrecker. So we've got a real nice mix and match going there.
312-981-7200 is the phone number. Let's throw Jack on the old WGN. What's up, Jack? Thanks for being patient.
No, thank you. I'm just not going to belabor, because you guys have gone on and on about the play calling, et cetera. What got to me today, and I was there, is the fact that as bad as we were offensively, we were running plays like you thought we were in a hurry-up offense when we were leading by 14 points. So that one was – that's my one point. The other point is we talked a lot about our receiver core. Is it on – there's on the 31 other teams, don't you believe there's got to be a wide receiver or two that we could potentially pick up that would be better than what we have? And I know we have to put that player on the active roster, but I just still think that's a way that we could improve the team.
Well, that's what they tried to do with Trey McBride.
Hey, Jack, guess what? We're just going to make you assistant general manager.
Well, yes. You know, to answer your question, there are. But as Ed has pointed out over and over again, are you going to trust the scouts and the evaluators of the talent right now in the Bears organization to identify who those guys are that are, on those practice squads that maybe you could grab and put in your system?
Yeah, and again, guys, look, 6'5", 280-pound defensive lineman. There are not many of those kind of people around. But I got to tell you, when I watch college football, I watch Oregon, I watch Washington State, I watch El Paso.
Yeah, this guy's
got little 5'10", 5'11", receivers that are flying around, catching balls, making – and I'm thinking, why can't we find somebody? Because if you look at what we got, it ain't very good. It's not very good. And so you'd think, how can we miss so much at this one position?
Well, Dan, I have an answer for you. Obviously, you don't understand that those players that are darts, that are quick and fast, can catch the ball, leap up in the air, they don't fit our system, Dan. They just don't. You're wrong on that.
Yeah, you don't want. Well, you don't want playmakers. He's right now. Ed is mocking us. I think, yeah. Dan. He's reversed it on us.
Playmakers need not apply.
Don't be. Hey, you're a playmaker. We don't want you.
Yeah. My God, we got scouts.
Go to Green Bay.
In the heck, in the name of what's right and true about football, are these people looking at? And what the hell are they recommending?
And here's the
come on, that's what it is.
And here's the other
part
about
this. Can't dance around it.
Right, Ed, but more importantly, and Dan, you talked about it earlier, these guys don't know how to run routes. They don't know how to catch the ball. You know, guys will jump and leave their feet when the ball's thrown, and
Josh Bellamy,
keep their feet and catch the ball with their hands. And these are fundamentals that you can teach as a position coach, as a wide receiver coach.
But we got to watch film of our college games, though. We got to watch
it. Right, right. Oh, no, not this.
Not according to the system.
Right, no. But, yeah, you're right. But, I mean, that is the truth. The truth is, I think it's a combination of all of these bad things happening. They're not identifying the right or the talent guys at wide receiver, and they're not coaching them when they get here. They're not improving. They're actually getting worse.
They could have kept Alshon, and I know that nobody in the studio is a huge fan of Alshon's, but Alshon's
better than anybody we got.
He's got 24 catches. He's been targeted 48 times. His average per catch is 13.2 yards. He's got a couple touchdowns.
In the land of the blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Yeah, well,
remember that.
Well,
and they're 5-1 right
hey,
now,
Dan,
right?
Philly's, I never heard that one before.
Philadelphia's 5-1 right
and
now.
And the Eagles are 5-1. And
is that another Hampism?
Dilly. There's a lot of them. Dilly.
Well, there was another one. What do you have earlier today? That was very.
Power unused is power wasted.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah,
I mean,
you don't go with your A game, your best, what you do best, then you're wasting. You're squandering right. Everything.
Well, the defense on Mike Glennon that I hear from tons.
What the hell is our best?
Dilly.
What's our best thing that we can
running
go with?
Running the ball and then coming with
play
a lot of bootlegs and sprint outs and rollouts and using an athletic quarterback that can make plays down the field to go ahead and back those safeties back out of the box.
Send that email to the Bears.
Actually throwing it down the field, even if you don't complete it, you back the safeties off by just chucking it down there every once in a while and getting them back.
Well, maybe they'll do that with Tariq Cohen going forward here. I mean, they threw one bomb.
Well, he's our one of our big playmakers besides our running back. So yeah, put him in the slot. If we had a receiver coach, he's a perfect slot receiver. I mean, he's got the quickness. He could separate. I don't think guys can cover him.
And again, it's almost like they refuse to identify the talents we have and play upon their strengths.
312-981-7200. If you want to get on in here before we get out, we're going to hear from Mitchell Trubisky. We'll hear a little bit from John Fox as well. We'll get you prepared for the Bears and the Saints next week on the road. Before the bye week, so we'll see if the Bears can win three in a row. That's the goal.
Hey,
three in a row.
I want to talk about this New Orleans matchup. Go ahead.
Okay.
No, I was just going to say here, I just got a message from Jerry Venisi. For you people that don't remember him, Jerry Venisi was the general manager when the 1985 Bears won the world championship and probably, or arguably, any way you want to put it, that's probably the greatest team that was ever put together in the history of this game. And Jerry Venisi was the general manager. And Jerry, if you're listening, I know you're listening, your message got cut off somehow. So I'll give you a call after the show and talk to you.
All right.
I love, you know, Ed, nobody does it better than him. Honestly, he is as smooth as could be.
There is nothing better than OB communicating to his people during the show.
Yeah.
We talked to the daughter earlier today, Dee Dee.
Gigi in Hampton, Gigi. Iowa. Yes. On that big farm.
What message do you have for the bartender at Gibson's?
Put out.
All right, hold on.
Let me
tell you guys something right now. Get it in. Get it all out. Because I will come firing back.
What's for the drink tonight? What's it called again?
Brexit?
Haaretz?
Brexit.
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 No, we're going to have Cristal Rosé.
Cristal Rosé.
Have no idea what it is.
You're absolutely right about that, LB. I would not. Miller Lite, baby.
It's a little bit too much glass.
That's kind of like Miller Lite, I think.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
Okay.
It's the champagne.
I got you.
Of, you know, like Miller Lite's a champagne.
All right, so you guys dumped on me pretty good. I'm going to remember this, boys.
Quick timeout. It's all love, LB. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears Conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Going to hear from the quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, in a matter of moments here. Thanks again to Mr. Submarine. Good food at a tasty price. That is Mr. Submarine. Grab a sub pack with delicious meat, cheese, veggies on that fresh baked Toronto bread. Visit MrSubmarine.com. I got one more stat for you guys here. It's been 11 years. This is according to Tristan Cockcroft over at ESPN. It's been nearly 11 years since a team attempted 7 or fewer passes in a win in the entire National Football League. Not the Bears. You had to go back to 81. In the league, it's been 7 years. Which, of course, Trubisky and the Bears did today. The last one, the Carolina Panthers, of course, the Bears beat today, and Chris Wehnke, who attempted 7 on December 24th of 2006. So in the league.
Was Fox the coach then?
I'm not sure. I got to double check that.
He started. He was in Carolina a long time.
John.
I don't know.
Seven years ago, he was the coach of the Carolina Panthers. He was in Denver for 3 years, and then this is the third year. So 7 years would be his last year there. What you're saying is there's a reason why
it was his last year. I believe he was the head coach at the time.
We have a connection. We have a John Fox, Chris Wehnke, Mitchell Trubisky connection. It's kind of painful.
Are you serious?
Stop talking about your Wehnke.
Oh, okay. Let us, on that note, hear from the great Mitchell Trubisky on what it was like to complete 4 passes in 7 attempts and beat the Carolina Panthers.
It was hard to get into rhythm at first. Defense played outstanding, obviously, with the 2 touchdowns. Eddie Jackson, incredible. He's got nose for the ball. You see those types of things in practice, and it's awesome to see you translate to the game. Just got to be more consistent as an offense, help our defense out, put a couple scores together, a couple more third downs, keep them off the field, but... it was hard to get in a rhythm because we really weren't on the field for much of the first half because they were driving the ball and then the defense would score a touchdown for us. So it was kind of strange, but, I mean, we'll take them how we could get them, and it was nice to come away with the W. And, we just got to be better as an offense, but it'll get better.
What did you get take away from your own performance today?
Of my performance? I thought I played really poor. I just got to be better overall. Did pretty good with the operation and stuff like that, but we got to be better in the pass game to open up the run game. They were starting to stack the box. They do a good job in their blitzes and in their third down package. So we just got to continue to be more balanced. And I'm going to get better in practice this week. But, I'm going to have to watch the film too. But just the first feel, you're like, you didn't score as an offense. Defense carries you, so you kind of feel salty. That you couldn't help out more than you did. So you always want to help out more, but you got to enjoy the win. So that's what we're going to do.
Ever win a game where you completed 4 passes?
First time. So it feels good.
I think you only threw 7 passes today. Are you just chomping at the bit to do more, to throw more?
I mean, that's how it is. We're just finding ways to win games. But we had more pass plays called. I was just pulling them down and being conservative, taking sacks. So I was just trying to play smart, protect the football, get out of here with a win. But, yeah, we got to get better in the pass game, and that comes on me. I'll be on the receivers and tight ends this week just to continue to try to perfect our timing and our routes and stuff. But most of it falls on me, so I got to get better in the pass game.
Thank you.
looked like a real good scramble. How disappointing was it when they took away the touchdown?
Disappointing, obviously, but I didn't get in, so it is what it is.
How would you describe what's happened with this team the last 3 weeks, or since you started against the Vikings at 2-1, and it seems like there's a different vibe around here?
Yeah, I think people are excited to come out and play football. You just see the chemistry in the locker room continue to grow closer together. And guys just know we have a good chance to win every single week. So if everyone does their job, if we execute the game plan and come out here, stick together, and enjoy the game, that we could come out and win games like this against a very good Panthers team. So if we keep doing that, it'll be a lot of fun. You can feel the vibes. They're definitely different in the football building when we're winning. So we just need to keep that kind of stuff going.
Big pass to Tariq late in the first half. What'd you see there?
Yeah, we were working on that play this week. He had a nice double move on the corner, and Deion took the safety out, the post safety out. So, just as soon as that safety goes, Tariq beats his corner, and I just gave him a pass. If I could have let him in a little more, he could have walked into the end zone, but just wanted to make sure I could get it to him so he could do the rest. But yeah, we just need to continue to get better in the play action pass game, because that's going to open up our run, and that's what we want to continue to get better at.
There you go. Mitchell Trubisky, certainly not sounding like you won a football game today. That was a very subdued Mitchell Trubisky.
Nothing wrong with that. You know, you want your elite players to be elite, and that's what he's saying. I got to be better.
Well,
I
think, you know, what he's saying, he said, yeah, he's got to be better. I think he's taken some heat off our vaunted offensive coordinator, Loggins. But I'll tell you what, because – you mean to tell me they've tightened this kid so much down that apparently what they see in him is that he doesn't have the ability to bootleg or to sprint out. He doesn't have the ability to throw the ball down the field. And so they're keeping him the last two games under wraps that much that they don't see something somewhere. You mean to tell me in four quarters today after his second start that we couldn't put a play in because we're a running football team, where a bootleg or a sprint out would have been perfect because we're a running team? I didn't see that all day, guys. I didn't see it all day.
That's what we're talking about.
My point is, again, Dan and gentlemen and the listeners, my point is, do they actually believe this kid doesn't have the talent to do that? I mean, my God, to put a bootleg play in and you're a running team? And after his second start, we couldn't put that in our game plan?
Yeah, well,
one stinking lousy play?
The one time they did today, at least somewhat what you're talking about, OB, is down at the goal line.
Yeah. Right.
So it didn't.
And also, let me just say this. The bootleg is always so much more effective, obviously, when you come off of the conventional offense where the quarterback's under center, where it's almost like a sure handoff run play, okay?
For a running team.
Exactly. So today it would have been even more effective. But let me also play devil's advocate. You know, we're screaming, oh, this is crazy. The kid only completed four. He only attempted seven. All I'm saying is they did what they had to do. Carolina never really presented much of a comeback.
Right.
So, okay, let's keep it under wraps. Let's sit on it. And maybe next week, maybe in New Orleans is when we will see the full gamut of this offense with run-pass option on a number of different plays. You know, the last 2 weeks, they've made a little bit of a hidden, you know, step forward with the offense by us going hurry up on most third down plays to keep. Last week it was the Ravens pass rush units off. This week it was, of course, keeping the Carolina third down specialists off the field. So in a little increment and little steps, yeah, they're starting to, you know, flesh it out maybe next week when they need it. And I think they're going to need it next week is when we're going to see it.
But they were 2 for 11 on those third down hurry ups, so it wasn't very effective. But I get what you're saying. At least they're trying to.
It could have been 0 for 11.
Right, you're right.
They didn't keep the third down units off, so who knows? And again, guys, I'm just saying, if you're playing somebody per hole and they hit it out of bounds twice,
yeah,
you don't got to make birdie.
You're going to make a 6 and you're going to win.
Yeah. So today we took doubles. And went home a winner.
Well, you know, we gave up the planet to get this kid, all right? And I don't understand if he's got that much ability and et cetera, my God, why aren't we showing it?
Back to the Chevy Hampton OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN, Bears a winner, 17-3 over the Carolina Panthers. Now 3-4, getting ready to go down to New Orleans, where somebody won a Super Bowl back in the day. This is Hampton OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Interesting story coming out of Cleveland. DeShone Kizer, who started for the Browns today.
And
has been in and out of the lineup.
Got benched.
There was a video. This is what happens nowadays. Everyone's got a phone. Everyone's got video. A video of him out early Saturday morning partying away. And then, of course, he's starting the next day. So Kizer was shown with his teammates in a downtown Cleveland establishment 1:30 a.m. on Saturday. And the Browns, of course, at practice Saturday, getting ready for Sunday's game. And then they go on to lose to Tennessee 9-6 on a field goal in overtime.
Do you think, though...
Couldn't happen to a better team. Or 12-9,
I should say.
Couldn't happen to a better team.
Do you think that really...
That go on all the time?
No. But, I mean, on a Saturday morning, which is going to be your walkthrough practice.
Right. Friday night, he's out till 2 a.m., no big deal. Bottom line, is that what you're going with?
You're...
Two is not
you
bad.
You got.
Come stumbling in at 4 or 5, that's real bad.
Yeah. You know, what I'm getting at is it's not, you know, come on. That if he would have played well, nobody said a word.
Well, he's
you
ready.
Know what, Mark?
He's a rookie on an 0-6 team. You don't do it.
I get. No. I hear you, but you get what I'm saying. It's kind of making a mountain out of a molehill.
Well, a lot of times these young players, when they get in, they make the team, and – you know, they're going to start or they get ready or what. Sometimes it's a little difficult to get some sleep. It really is.
It's bad optics.
Not that means you don't have to be out cabareting
right
till 2 in the morning. I'm not saying that. But they sit in the room. Sometimes they go half nuts, you know, can't sleep, twist and turn.
Right. It's bad optics, though, to be out 2 in the morning. I don't think it's a good look for them. Vikings, you guys mentioned, beat the Ravens 24-16. So Minnesota's 5-2.
Who was the quarterback for the Vikings?
That would be Case Keenum.
He's lighting it up right now. They're a better team with him under center.
Case Keenum was 20 of 31 today, did not throw a touchdown pass, had an interception, did not have his best day, but they won 188 yards. And Joe Flacco was 27 of 39. Quarterback rating of 15.2, the QBR. Rough day for Flacco.
Well, he's been terrible all year, but he does make $26 million.
You know what the rating for Trubisky was today?
101, right?
101, I think, 0.3 or 101.8, something like that.
That's because he didn't turn the ball over. Real fast here, just looking at the stories of the day. Carson Palmer, quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals. They got smoked 33-0 by the Rams, who are 5-2. He broke his arm, going to be out 8 weeks. Minimum. And Jay Cutler and the Dolphins survived Josh McCown and the Jets 31-28. Late pick of Josh McCown. The Dolphins win. But Cuddy today has apparently he's got some cracked ribs. He's going to miss a couple of weeks.
Who's that?
Jay Cutler. Used to quarterback the Bears.
Okay.
Wore number 6.
I didn't know his nickname was Cuddy.
Oh. Well, that's a cool guy Mark's nickname for him. Cuddy.
Billy.
Didn't everybody call him Cuddy?
Cuddy.
It was Cuddy. Come on.
The cut man.
It's Jay Cutler. X-rays on Jay Cutler's chest. OB Jay Cutler. You miss him?
Yeah.
Oh, Jay Cutler?
Yeah.
Hey, Mark would pin a medal on your chest if you had one.
Wow. Wow, it's getting harsh. It's getting late. Why don't we talk about the Saints, Hamp?
Hey, did you give scores?
So all this erodes into the focus on the coming game. You know, hey, a win's a win, and okay, what do we do now? We get, you know, ready for the trip down to New Orleans. And some folks that don't know, the Saints are now, what, 4-2?
Saints are 4-2. They beat the Packers today 26-17. Drew Brees was 27-38 for 331 yards, one of the best quarterbacks still in the game today. That's the
challenge. But he threw two interceptions.
He always does.
Going into last week, he hadn't thrown one, so the last 2 weeks he's had some issues. But all that being said, you know, our defense, again, has been – they've allowed a field goal in the first half of the last three games. That is tremendous, you know, a defensive effort. All that being said, it'll be hard to duplicate it against this very diverse Saints offense. Mark Ingram went over 100 today. I think he had 105. But, you know, they are very smart. Sean Payton, you can say what you want. The guy, you know, he won a Super Bowl, what, 7, 8, 9 years ago, whatever. This is a good team, and they will beat you if you do not make plays. Now we're going to have to do some things on offense that, you know, again, their defense is starting to look like an NFL defense. The first month they were horrid. The last 3 weeks they're getting better. So this will be a game that, you know, all the things, the deficiencies of our offense we've been decrying over the last week or two, we're going to have to kind of grow up, pull up the big boy pants, and go down there and hopefully be able to run the ball and be balanced enough in our passing game to be able to keep them out of that 8-9-man box that we saw so much of the second half today.
You're talking about middle-of-the-road defensive team here. You're talking about playing on turf, which will be, I would think, would Mitchell Trubisky moving around could be of benefit to him and to Tariq Cohen, wouldn't you say? So that'll be, I would think,
but
it would
the
help.
Other part is, and again,
they're going to score points.
You know,
in New Orleans.
You being a receiver, timing is everything. Every receiver is open for a split second. Ours don't get open very long. It's a split. I mean, a tiny split second.
Right, right.
But if you have timing, you can get the ball out on time to the receiver at the proper, you know, place and moment. It's hard to cover everybody completely. So, you know, that's one advantage they've had. Drew Brees has been very, very, you know, precise in his career. So,
and they motion. They do a lot of different formations. Yeah. And as you pointed out, Dan, they have three or four different backs.
Yep.
You know that they feature, and they have three tight ends, five wide receivers. They spread you out.
A
so
lot
you gotta
of
cover
packages.
The whole field.
And they know John Fox from, you know, years and years ago, and against the Panthers when he was a coach there. So it'll be interesting to see how we match up.
312-981-7200. If you have any parting thoughts here for as we wrap up at 6 o'clock, we will hear a minute. 1 minute.
Was I saying Brew Drees?
You said
Brew?
Brews Drees. Brews Dree. It's close
hey,
enough.
Hey, by the way, who was the last team to only throw 7 passes?
The last team? Oh, we.
And in the NFL. And what year was it?
It was the Carolina Panthers in 2006, if you're just joining
and
us.
And who was the head coach there?
And John Fox.
Okay, just wanted to make sure that we understood what all that, how it coordinates.
See how nothing
other.
Gets biased.
Zero.
You guys are being way too critical.
Fox went 7 passes in 06.
And you're being critical, too.
With Chris Wenke. I apologize, OB. All right, we may hear, we're going to do 1 minute of John Fox coming back here. The best minute.
Why?
The best minute.
Why?
It's a strong minute. 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. Bears beat the Panthers 17-3. We're going to hear 1 minute from John Fox in a second. Mitchell Trubisky, if you're just joining us, 4 of 7. For 107 yards. QBR of 5.6, his overall quarterback rating 101.8. That means that Jordan Howard must have had a big game. Not exactly. 21 carries, 65 yards. That means that Trubisky must have ran it a ton. Not exactly. 5 carries for 3 yards. That means the defense must have been phenomenal. That would be correct. They were, absolutely. Eddie Goldman, Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson, Kyle Fuller, Akeem Hicks, Christian Jones led the team in tackles with 11. A phenomenal day by the Bears defense, and that is why they were able to win the football game. All right, 1 minute from John Fox.
You ever won a game completing four passes?
Yeah, I think, you know, I've seen a lot. I don't ever like to say I've seen it all, but something new will happen. But I think, you know, I've been part of those games. And again, this is a team game. Sometimes, you know, it's going to be one-sided one way or the other. I've seen that before. But at the end of the day, you know, you got smiley faces in there, and they all fought hard for that victory.
How much was that a reflection of the faith you had in your own defense to hold the lead the stake for them?
You know, I think, you know, it's about execution, really. I don't care what phase of the game it is, whether it was last week in the return game or, you know, the week before, you know, on defense. You know, it's about execution. And that's a very, very good defense that we played. You know, I think you got to give them some credit, too.
John, what went into the decision to kick the field goal at the end of the first half?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at it and you think you got the ball at the 1 yard line, you run, you do something on first down, didn't work. You do something on second down, didn't work. You do something on third down, didn't work. What on earth makes you think something good's going to happen on fourth down? All right, I'll just make it simple for you. All right, we got the ball to start the third quarter. We knew that going in, and made it a 3-score game, getting 3 points versus zero.
There, that was his best moment maybe ever.
Yeah, since he's been here in Chicago, he showed a little personality.
A drop of personality from Foxy. A little bit of honesty right there, too. The other parts were brutal. It was about execution. What are you talking about?
I appreciate that. Well, he did acknowledge, he must have thought, maybe I have been in that game where I was the head coach and we threw it 7 times and won, right?
Chris Wanky, 2006. That's right, John Fox. You have been in that game very much so.
He said I was a part of that. No, you were the head coach in that game.
Yeah, you weren't a part of it. You were leading the way. 17-3, the Bears beat Carolina. So, Hampo, final shots here. What does this mean in the big picture of this season with the Bears at 3-4?
Well, I don't know how long we can count on our defense to continue this toward pace. Again, it's going to be tough in New Orleans against the Saints on the turf. You know, obviously, to expect us to score 14 points off of defensive turnovers this week, well, I don't think it's realistic. The other part of it is to allow only a field goal the first half, the last three games, that's great stuff. Hey, I was part of a lot of really good defenses. I don't know if we ever did that. So I'm just saying, you can strip it all away. It takes all three phases to win. And some good breaks. We've had every good break. You know, OB, you said time and time again, you know, costly penalties versus, you know, at the wrong times for our opponents. It's worked out well for us. All things considered, we need to be a lot better, and especially on, you know, gave up 2 returns for scores last week. Better today. We got to be better next week.
We will see you guys next Sunday at 3:00 after the Bears and the Saints. Thanks for listening, texting, calling. Yes, OB?
Nothing. I just think, yeah.
You looked like you were leaning in to say something really sweet to the listeners.
No. Yeah. You want to know what? Appreciate them listening.
Thank you.
Because they will hear what really happened on that field, and there'd be no dancing around here.
There was no dancing today. There was no dancing at all.
No, there wasn't.
Bears beat the Panthers 17-3. Thanks for listening, texting, calling. Hamp, OB, and Kaz. Pete McMurray coming up next, 720 WGN.